as the Zold Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Can't hear it. No sound. Dead in Ohio. The massacre at Kent State University. 50 years ago today. You know, I was pondering it as I woke up this morning. That's my generation. I graduated from high school in 1971. So this was a year before I went to college in 1971. Four dead in Ohio. The killing of four college students. 67 bullets rang out in 13 seconds. 67 bullets from National Guardsmen rang out in 13 seconds. I never really figured out what happened there. Never really did. And I was reminded this morning, boy, I need a shave. I was reminded this morning as I was preparing today's show how history tends to repeat itself, doesn't it? Civil unrest. I believe we're sitting on the powder keg of civil unrest that we haven't seen probably since May 4th, 1970, when four innocent college students were gunned down by National Guardsmen. Probably guys, maybe even their age, just younger guys. 67 bullets in 13 seconds rang out. Kent State, it's here in Ohio, for those of you who don't know. And, you know, I look at what's going on all across America, and I see, you know, the right now appear to be the peaceful protests that are taking place everywhere. And as you sit back and we understand Psalm 2, maybe you can pull that up there real quick, Sheldon, because I always try to make a spiritual connection every time we do a show here. Spiritual connection. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of this earth conspire against the Lord and his anointed. That's Psalm 2. This battle between truth, justice, and the American way. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, see, folks, the battle has never changed from in the garden. The seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. It's been an ebb and a flow, give and a take. And we're living in a time when, as I tried to show yesterday on Sunday's show, I've never seen less courage and less direction or less purpose than I see I hate to call it the American church because I don't even know what you would call it. I've never seen that. Jesus warned us in Matthew 5, verse 13, that if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth no good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And I reflect to May 4th, 1970, when the assault really broke loose during the 1960s, when the assault really broke loose on America and on Christianity and on long time honored values of our forefathers, they began to be eroded in the 1960s. It didn't happen by accident. It was the kings of this earth setting themselves and the rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And as I sit here today on May 4th, 2020, 50 years later, I ask myself, are we on the verge of this again? Are we on the verge of it again? And if we're on the verge of it again, dare I say it? Is that necessarily a bad thing? Is it a bad thing? We've become so soft ever since. I had a lot of things run through my head here this morning as I was preparing the show. I was thinking about the Nuremberg trials. What happened at the Nuremberg trials? Well, they tried all those Nazis. 20 of them, I believe it was. 12 of them sentenced to death, hung. And folks, that wasn't that long ago. That was 60 years ago, 65, Nuremberg, 45, 55, 75 years ago. To what? To ungodly, unrighteous, out of control people who determined they were the government, the kings of this earth, that is setting themselves and rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The destruction of everything moral happened in the 1960s, 1970s, and we're living it out today. And the grandparents, it's crazy, I'm a grandparent, the grandparents of today's grandchildren were the hippies. The hippies have become grandparents. And the free love and the, if it feels good, do it, and tune in and turn on and drop out of Timothy Leary, it is passed down through our loins into our grandchildren to where we are in a lawless nation. Where men and women of character and virtue, if there are such people again, will no longer stand up and push back, no longer do it. Killed 66 million babies. We see the marriage destroyed. We see the Supreme Court of the United States say that marriage is between a man and a man and anything you want it to be, and hardly a peep from the church. Oh, they peep. They peeped a little bit, and we'll never marry him until the cops come and tell them they have to, and then the churches begin to marry him, you're with me. You know what I'm talking about, right? And to understand that the salt has lost its savor. When the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. We see guys shutting down their churches simply because the government said they have to. Any evidence? Churches determine themselves to be non-essential. You do know that, don't you? You do know that. With the exception of a couple of places, Pastor Tony Seep down there in Louisiana and a couple others. And some churches remain open without it. Most churches should remain open. And Michelle and I went yesterday. We went over to Columbus. We love to go to this place called Gabe's, because Gabe's got all kinds of closeouts. They buy everybody's closeouts and then you get good cheap stuff at Gabe's. And Michelle and I love to go buy inexpensive stuff. We were over there I couldn't believe it. I just refused to believe what I saw. The number of human beings wearing masks. We are so propagandized. Not about masks. If you're mad because I said that. Can you imagine if in this culture, in this society, we tried to get everybody to do anything? It shows the power of fear. The motivating power of fear. It is only through fear that they've been able to get people to put masks on. I don't care if you think masks are a good idea. It's fear that has caused people to put on masks. And it's fear that has caused churches to not open. And it's fear that has caused people to hold church services sitting in their cars. Fear. It's nothing but fear. And at some point, we're going to have to wake up and we're going to have to understand that we're going to have to face that fear. And as I said last week, liberty and risk are Siamese twins. Liberty and risk. You cannot have freedom without risk. If you take away all the risk, then you don't have any freedom. And we're gradually, slowly seeing that happen in America again today. It's happening to us right now. Kent State is right on. Would any of you out there watch right now, would any of you at all, any of you be surprised if somebody somewhere today, tomorrow, this week gets shot by a police officer somewhere demonstrating their exercising their God-given right to petition their God? Would anybody out there be surprised? History is repeating itself. But it could be a great upheaval, couldn't it be? It could be a great upheaval. It could be an upheaval of men like me at 67 years old who've lived a beautiful, wonderful life and had wonderful grandchildren and so many creature comforts that, my goodness, I could just sit back on my couch and enjoy my life for however much time the Lord gives me. Or is it going to be guys like us, me and Joe and Joe Silver and Joseph and Trump and Jeff and is it going to be Dale? Is it going to be us? Is it going to be, who are we? Are we looking for the teenagers to do it again? Are we going to be led by a bunch of teenagers again, as we saw in Kent State? Now, those guys at Kent State, why were they rioting? They didn't want to go to war. They didn't want to go die. Who blamed them? I was that age. Nobody wanted to go die in the rice paddies of Vietnam. And what were we seeing going on? Again, we were seeing a tyrannical government telling us how we ought to behave. And for those of us who stood up against it, we were called what? Protesters and un-American. I wasn't out there at Kent State. I wasn't one of those protesters. But it's the same spirit. It's the same thing today. I see Christians making fun or casting aspersions at guys like us who show up at outside of our state houses and demand that we get a redress of our grievances. And we see other Christians say, well, that we're protesters and we're un-American and that we don't care about either. Other people are not good Christians and all of this stuff. And here we are, the grandpas. We're the grandpas. We're the grandpas. We're the worst generation. They said our dad was the greatest generation. They said they went into Rice Paddy. I'm sorry, they went into Storm Omaha Beach and Pearl Harbor and all that stuff. They said those guys were the greatest generation, but they weren't. They lost us. They lost their kids. We saw the beginning of their children being lost in 1960 and 1970 at Kent State and Haight-Ashbury and all the way down through there and the influence of the colleges. And the greatest generation lost their grandkids, lost their kids. My dad's generation, my mom's generation, the greatest generation did not do what it said in Psalm 70, 78. Not Psalm 78. Where is that? Pull that up. Lord, help me. Where is that? 78? Yeah, it might be Psalm 78. Is that where it is? No, it isn't Psalm 78. It'll come to me. Isaiah 78. Is it Isaiah 78? That doesn't even make sense. Anyway, we didn't pass it on to the next generation. We didn't. And history has a tendency to repeat itself. And what will be the next poor dad in Ohio? What will be the next one? What's going to cause it? And I promise you this, it's going to be more than four dead. It'll be more than four. We have to ask ourselves, friends, if this is government of the people, by the people, and for the people, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If we really, really believe that, we have to ask ourselves, why is the government our enemy? What happened to us that the government's now our enemy? What happened to us that when we go now and go down to the state house, which we're going to do again today, and we're the enemy? We're the enemy of a tyrannical, God-hating, godless, Christless government. You don't have to agree with me. That's okay. Christ has no place in the American government. Anybody want to argue with me? Anybody want to? The name of Jesus Christ is honored nowhere in the American government. Nowhere. Nowhere. And then you ask yourself this, well, who's gonna lift up that name? Who's gonna lift up that name of Jesus? Donald Trump. That's it. We'll get President Trump to start lifting up that name of Jesus, and then everything will be okay. And we'll get pastors to be having churches in their cars. Or on Facebook. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm trying to give us an illustration of what's happened to us in the face of fear. what's happened to us and how easily our rights have been forfeited. Sheldon, pull up this clip. It says rally in California. It's started at the 1 minute, 1 minute, one, 1 6 minute. Started at the 1 minute mark and ran it to the 6 minute mark. Because this is, I'm sorry if I'm, just bear with me here. Bear with me. We had a young lady arrested at the abortion. No, it's not, that's not it, Sheldon. That's not it. I'm sorry. It says, it should say rally in California. That's, I won't, we'll use this one later. Had a young lady arrested at the abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio. Alicia, first time she'd ever been there. That's not it. It's not the right, that's not the right video. Did I maybe give you the wrong one? Let me see if I did. I'll blame me. I gave you the wrong one. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay, but it's okay. I watched a, I have a video I'm going to show you today. I watched a young woman be arrested at the, our Planned Parenthood here in Columbus, Ohio this on Friday. And for praying, doing a prayer walk. Doing a prayer walk. I saw an officer of the law arrest her. We're doing a prayer walk for walking through an abandoned. Yeah, as it was a specific video I wanted to find you. Sheldon, you can quit looking for it. It was my screw up. I had a lot of things going on. And to watch her be arrested and watch her bravery. And to think that we are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. A police officer hired by Planned Parenthood. A police officer, by the way, who we have a relationship with because we go to Planned Parenthood so regularly. I've had many conversations with this police officer who's a Sunday school teacher at his church. He says he is. Has on his back of his license plate, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And then he arrests. What were the Nuremberg trials about? Weren't the Nuremberg trials, wasn't the defense at the Nuremberg trials simply just following orders? Just following orders? Murdering people?
The Nuremberg trials were about murdering Germans.
Leading them into ovens as just following orders? You go to the abortion clinics today. There were 10 of us out there last Friday when Alicia was arrested. And I sat there and I felt about this high as it was going on. Me, I'm talking about me. Talking about me, how much I love my own life, how much I love myself. That inside that building, they were dismembering children. Inside the building, as I stood on the outside, they were dismembering children. It'd be like Auschwitz. They were burning bodies and the ashes were falling down on top of me. And some brave woman shows up for the first time and she decides this is horrific and she begins to do a prayer walk and she walks on the sidewalk around the building, praying to the Lord, stirring up the demons. She comes around the backside into an open field, an open lot between Planned Parenthood and the next building beside of it. And little known to her, she was still on Planned Parenthood property and she didn't know it. Praying. Inside, they are killing babies, dismembering them. And a police officer on the outside, hired Christian, hired by the Planned Parenthood to arrest women who are praying as babies are being done. I wish I was making it up. Sheldon, go to our home, go to the homepage and go into my videos or whatever it is and pull up that video of Alicia being arrested. So proud of her.
Hey, while you're doing that, Coach, this is Glenn. Yeah. So hey, Glenn. My wife and I went to the abortion clinic on Saturday. And what we've noticed is that the police force, the police security has been beefed up. There were two detective cars sitting in a parking lot across from the abortion clinic, or the abortuary. And then there was also a security officer sitting in his car right at the driveway near the entrance. And one of the people we were talking to who go there, her and her husband go there, I think it's 3 or 4 days a week. They were lined up. She had a picture. They were, the people coming for an abortion were lined up at 7:30 in the morning around the building because this clinic never closed. They never closed. And the police were called, but they never did anything. They were never closed during the, when the governor had shut down everything.
Essential business, huh, Glenn? Killing babies is essential. My wife can't get her teeth cleaned or haircut, right? It's happening with the approval of the church, right? Happening with the full approval of the church. Nuremberg trials. I'd like to get Officer Chung, who's the arresting officer. I'd like to get him, Nuremberg trial, and let him sit there and pull that Cool Hand Luke, one of my favorite movies of all time, by the way. When they locked Cool Hand Luke away in his in the box for the night, he'd been a bad boy. He'd been out working all day. When at night he had to go in the box, couldn't even go lay down in a bed. When they opened up the box and put Luke in the box and took the little bucket, his little pee bucket, and they put the little pee bucket. And the guy sets it down, and he says to Luke, "Just doing my job, Luke. Just doing my job." One of the greatest lines ever in any movie, ever. Luke's his boss. Calling it your job, don't make it right. Calling it your job, don't make it right. And I wonder what's happened to us when we have law enforcement. It used to be called PB, peace officers. Now they're law enforcement officers, who are paid to stand outside of an abortion clinic while babies are being dismembered 100 feet behind them, babies being dismembered, and a law enforcement officer is doing my job, boss, just doing my job. Arrests a peaceful, praying woman because she happened to step on the wrong piece of property. Pull it out there, Shelton. I just want you to watch a few seconds of this.
They're going to give her a hard time. She's praying around the building.
Yeah,
the sweet little friend showed up here today. They're going to give her a hard time, tell her to get off the ground. She's just walking around praying.
Ma'am, how old was you?
She's never been here. She didn't know she couldn't do that. She's never been here before, officer.
Get off the property right now. Yes, you are.
What does it matter where she's from?
It's doing my job, boss! It's doing my job!
Officer Chung, that's her first time she's ever been here. Officer Chung, what are you doing?
Shame on you, officer. Shame on you, officer.
He's giving him the gospel, I'll tell you that. And he's in Sunday school.
Where does it say that, officer?
It's not marked. I wouldn't have known that. It's my first time here, too.
See what's going on, folks? Huh?
Are you kidding me?
You don't understand the spiritual war that's going on, right?
Move it forward a little bit, Sheldon, because we've combined. Jared's done a great job of combining the two videos. You folks, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. He cuffs her and puts her, slams her on the ground on her knees. Go on down. They sighted her, and then she comes out. I'm farther down, Connor. Sheldon, farther. There she is, right there. This is after they release her. Alicia.
Never, listen, folks. We never have black people here with us, ever. And she showed up, and look what happened. Okay, look, we're back. Alicia is out.
Folks, I hate to play the racial card, but it's the truth. We never have black people show up, ever, to show up and stand with us at the abortion clinic. Half the babies being killed in that clinic are black, half of them. We never have a black face show up, and she did, and they arrested her. This is her after she's pulling out her summons. She was arrested. She was not taken down and booked, probably because they don't want the coronavirus down there or whatever. They're worried about that. But she was arrested, cited, given a ticket, summons to court. And this is her after they've let her out of the police car. Go ahead and play that, Sheldon.
Is out of the police car.
Hey, come here, Lisa. Walk. Let's get out of the way here a second.
Get out of the driveway.
Hey, because we had a lot of people watching you being arrested. Yeah, you did great. You did absolutely great. You didn't back down. You didn't stood your ground. Now, tell us what was he saying? What was their excuse, Lisa? What was their excuse? What did he say that you knew you were trespassing?
Yeah, this is my first time coming here, so I do my Jericho walk, always walking around the building, and then I'm like, to a certain point, they said, you're trespassing. I said, I don't see a sign that says I'm trespassing. So I just walked around, and so then the officer pretty much grabbed me. Trespassing.
Hey, Chad, you in here, Chad? You in here,
yeah.
Chad?
Yeah.
Hey, Chad. How does this work, Chad? Is that police officer supposed to warn her first that she's trespassing? How does this work, Chad?
Well, this is he's doing the extra job. So he's following what they want. And they're setting the dictate. And they said, look, there'll probably be somebody there. And they said, look, we're tired of these people. Just you know, throw the book at them. And see, the trespassing thing was probably a Class C, which is like a speeding ticket. And he does have the option of putting an arrest on there, but you know, he ended up giving her a summons, but he did the arrest to appease the people he's working for. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But Chad, doesn't have to be a warning that you're trespassing. Don't you have to be warned? In fact, Chad, she was off the property and then he pulled her back onto the property. So her intention clearly wasn't.
Chad, well, I would say that a fair officer is going to give people a chance. You know, to do, and depending on what's going on also, you know, I think a fair officer would give him a chance. A warning.
Yeah, a warning. No warning. And anyway, okay. So just kind of get your folks your reaction here. Because I'm going to tell you something. As sure as I'm sitting right here in front of this computer, we're heading to Four Dead in Ohio again. We're heading that direction. You can't see that coming. If you can't see civil obedience, godly obedience being called civil disobedience, if you can't see it's the government against the people, I don't know. See, the government says they want to keep us safe, right? They want to keep us safe as people go broke.
They don't, Coach. They want to keep us docile, Coach. They want to keep us docile. Hey, Coach, there's a comment by Trent. Can we get Chad to answer that?
What is the comment?
The comment is, nicely by Trent, is he still a police officer while he's working for Planned Parenthood?
Yes. Well, here's the good news, at least from our standpoint. Planned Parenthood's now liable because it was their employee that violated her rights.
That's right, Coach. And remember what you did the show two Fridays ago? They're all responsible. Uh-huh. All these things, all these laws you're breaking, you freaks, you're going to pay.
That's right. Right. You understand, folks, you understand what I'm saying? This wasn't just a Columbus police officer that arrested her. It was a hired employee of Planned Parenthood that gave her what our attorneys say was a false arrest. Well, what do we do? Is Alicia now, she now a lawbreaker? Is that what we would say? Is that what most people in the church would say? Oh, she got arrested. Well, she must have been doing something wrong. She must have been breaking the law. Police officers wouldn't just arrest her for nothing, right? Isn't that where we are? Wouldn't that be the attitude that we would hear from most people? She certainly was. She would. We're not supposed to break the law. Well, she wasn't breaking the law. And by the way, are we supposed to follow the law if they're murdering children inside? What do you think, Joseph? What do you think, Silver? What do you guys think? Huh? Right? Just be good obedient little people. Is that what we're supposed to be?
Coach, just like what happened to our brother there when he spit on the street. Same for thing.
For those of you who don't know, Randy was arrested for spitting or given a ticket, whatever, spitting on the street outside an abortion clinic. He spit. And they gave him a ticket. Training it in that. Go ahead, Joseph. I'm sorry.
A on-duty officer not paid by that agency is supposed to give him or her a ticket. Not the man that's working for the agency. He sits there to warn and call for help. I don't know how many jobs I work like this. Mm-hmm. We call the on-duty officers. They come and cite her and arrest her.
Well, I don't think that sighting is going to stick anyways. And she'll probably end up winning something on down the road.
Yeah, but, and putting her on her knees and handcuffs? Ooh, I should be.
Well, not unless they're teaching that, Joe. If they're teaching that there, then he's following his.
Come on now. Come on, both of you guys know this. I've been out long enough. I've been out there a number of times and had that very officer say, Coach, if you don't step back, we're going to have to arrest you. If you don't step back, Coach, they have to get – they don't just cuff you. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, what happened? This is what happened. Satan inspired this man to intimidate this black woman to not come back because they know that's going to tear down the stronghold. This is serious. We can't let her to come back. She's spiritual. So amen. It's the same spirit as when Peter tells Jesus, oh, I'm not letting you go to the cross. I'll whip anybody. I'll fight anybody. And he looks around, he turns and he says, Satan, you get behind me. This is what we have to do, Coach. In the moment, we need to cast Satan out of these people and to say, get behind me. You're an offense to God. You love the things of man.
Randy, I got to tell you something. She was so bold. I just can't even tell you. I've felt about that big. Not that I was afraid. I wasn't afraid. I would have gotten arrested. I wasn't afraid of that. This happened. Listen, for those of you who've never been to the abortion clinic, when you go to the abortion clinic for the first time and you see these cars pull in and people get out of their car and go in and to kill their baby, it changes you. And that's what happened to her. She saw women pull up into the car, get out and go in the front door and go in and to kill their babies. And she started praying. Didn't violate any law. The question I would ask, Joseph, the same question that they ask at the Nuremberg trials. Well, why'd you guys do that? Mr. Police Officer, why did you sit quietly as they murder babies inside the building? Well, it was the law. It was my job. I was just enforcing the law. Really? That might work in court. It ain't going to work if we stand before the Almighty. Isaiah, I got it down there for you. Bible Gateway, last one. Last thing on there, Sheldon, pull that up there. Go ahead, Joseph. I heard you, man.
I wish we had her down here. We can't get.
Joseph, listen to this one. If you look at the end of the video, you'll see it. She's going back today. And she's bringing other black faces there today. Going back at 9 o'clock today, she's going back. She's taking other black faces with her.
Yeah, she needs them. She gets there, she says, y'all started something now, see?
Abortion would end. I've said this for years. Abortion would end if black pastors got involved. If black pastors would simply call out the racism that's involved with Planned Parenthood, it would end. It would end.
He won't do that.
Coach,
he won't do that because you have two witnesses now. If you have two blocks.
I don't know if it would end, Coach, because this is the crown jewel of the serpent and the woman. There's no doubt about it. But the logic is the same logic of what you've been saying, is these officers are just dumbed down to do what they've been told. The penumbra of the law, we have been so uneducated. It's the same reason why these governors will come in and tell you, you got to close this, you got to close this, you got to do this. That is the penumbra, what they think they see that is in there. There is nothing in the Constitution that gives the governor the right to violate any part of the Constitution.
Amen, Dale.
Amen. Amen. Dale. So, Dale, let me ask you this. Connor, get shall not. I get you. I'm sorry. Get that up, that Bible Gateway up there for me. Dale, as one of them, meaning a pastor, who you go regularly, Dale. And there are others out there. So I'm not, you know, when you paint a broad brush, you run a risk. What is it, Dale? Why are pastors so calloused or cavalier or disinterested in the plight of the preborn? Wait a minute, Dale, before you answer. Don't they even care about the women? The women whose lives are going to be destroyed as a result of it? The women who will... Their marriages will fall apart. They'll have eating disorders. They'll have nightmares at night of what they did. The constant guilt. Pastor Dale, why don't pastors care? What do you think it is?
Well, I'm going to paint a different picture on that, because it is they love mercy ministry. They don't like prophetic ministry because it involves confrontation and being disliked. They would rather show up to heaven with a shield that is shiny and looks better than anybody else. It's always their success is based on the multitude and the size of their church and the pats on the back because of their mercy ministries that they do. But they fail to warn the people on the wall, the watchmen on the wall. They fail to do this because that very thing. It's in the nature of a human being. We don't like to be unliked, right? The pastors have been so sissified that they don't understand the spiritual battle here. I think that's it.
And I'm going to bring it back to this. Women run the church and men who act like women. If you have any stones at all, you're not welcome in most churches. You guys know some man out there say amen. I'm going to just take a
pause. Amen, Coach. You're right on.
Amen, Coach.
You got any stones at all, you're not welcome. You're not welcome. And
Coach, look at it from this other perspective. Look at what God has done in Elisha. He set her up for the next round. God, when I sat on that sidewalk, Coach, that pulled me in and made me see the whole system. I had to go to court. I had to deal with the police. I did it all. And God said, see, now you understand. He educated me. Mm-hmm. And now, Coach, the next round, I can handle a bigger job.
Oh, yeah.
Setting a premise. God is setting us up to do a big job down the road.
Now, Randy, not only that, you now can show others how to be brave. You've done it.
In that moment, I know exactly how that lady felt, because when they were interrogating me, four or five of them around me, and I mean, they wanted to just rip me, I was just smiling, looking at them like they were just a bunch of little peons trying to handle something. And I didn't feel arrogant at all. I had a great spirit of humility. But you can see the authority that you have, that God has, the Spirit of God gives you. You see it, you walk in it, and you understand God is in control here. They're not. God is in control.
Just do my job, boss. Isaiah 59, pull that up there real quickly for me, Sheldon. I think you probably already have it up. Let me click on it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is there heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, the Lord could end abortion tomorrow. But your sins, my sins, this ain't about God, all right? This argument, this debate isn't about God. Isaiah just told us, hey, man, Lord can end this right now. But he said, your sins, mine, separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, then he ain't hearing you, boys and girls. He ain't hearing you. You can't say he hit him, just doing my job. Just doing my job. Just loving them, Lord. Lord, I'm just loving them after they killed their babies and just loving them before they did it, Lord. Because you are love. God is love. And I just love him. He says, I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. For your hands, mine. Randy, yours. Joe. Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Hey, none call for justice. None. Nor any pleadeth for truth. That's a human being inside that woman. Nobody pleads for truth. Pastors won't even do Sanctity of Life Sunday. They won't even talk about on sanctity. Difficult choice between a woman or a doctor. It ought to be. It ought to be a difficult choice. When's the last time you heard somebody go get some appendix taken out and say, man, that was a difficult choice. Whew, those appendix had ruptured, but boy, that's a difficult choice whether we ought to go in there and take them out. What are you talking about? Difficult choice between a woman and her doctor. Well, of course, it's murder. You got cops standing out there saying, just doing my job, boss. Just doing my job. They conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. At verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. The thoughts are thoughts of sin, wasting, and the destruction are in their paths. Scroll down a bit, Sheldon, please. The way of peace, they don't know. How can you have peace? How can you say peace, peace, when there's bloodshed going on under the protection of the Columbus Police Department? How can you say there's going to be peace, peace, peace? The way of peace, they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They've made them crooked paths. And whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, and neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but to behold obscurity, for brightness. We wonder what is going on. How can America be so lost? Well, right there it is. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We can't see him murdering 65 million babies. We can't see that. No. We stumble at noon as if in the night. We're desolate places as dead men. We're all like bears. And we roar like bears and mourn like sore doves. We look for judgment, but there is none for salvation, but it's far off for us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, Lord. And our sins testify against us. And for our transgressions are with us. And as for our sins, hey, Lord, we know them. It's cowardice. We know it. And transgressing and lying against the Lord. See, not lying about the Lord or not lying to your, not lying in transgressing and lying against the Lord. We are lying against the Lord. Departing away from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward. They arrest a woman for praying and they murder babies because justice is backwards. It's turned away backwards. Justice stands far off. For truth has fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Yep, truth fails. Wow, what a profound word that is. And he that departeth from evil, those of you who teach your children not to do evil, well, you make yourself a prey. The Lord saw it. And it displeased
him. Coach.
No judgment. Yeah, come on in, Gary.
Yeah, what I find ironic is back when the Kent State shooting took place, it was the hippie protesters that were calling the soldiers coming back from Vietnam baby killers.
Yep. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yes. Worry about their baby, not ours.
Hey, listen, can I tell you the truth? They ain't worried about anybody's babies.
Well, that's true. Exactly.
We have a nation full of churches that permits the slaughter of unborn children to go on because seven terrorists in a black robe said 45 years ago without any good scientific evidence. We are maintaining a law based on faulty evidence 45 years ago, 1973, what was it, 47 years ago? Faulty evidence. Right? We had no ultrasounds. We knew nothing about it. And they made a stupid judgment 1973, and we still obey it today, even though the science is so far beyond. Everybody watching this show knows it's a baby. Every one of us know it's a baby. And yet we let them, whoever they are, Psalm 2, tell us it's not a baby, and we believe it. And the Lord is looking down at us, scratching his head. And what?
Hey, Coach. And it's not a law. It's just a court opinion.
Court opinion.
Yes.
The court opinion. And who gets arrested? Well, Elisha does. Elisha gets arrested.
The people that are trying to regress their grievances.
trying to regress their grievances. Hey, Sheldon, pull up Webster's Justice. Pull up Webster's. Mark Trump. Doesn't it say in Proverbs that the Lord loves justice? Doesn't it say that?
More than he loves sacrifice.
He loves justice more than he loves sacrifice. So if Elisha got arrested, he loved her sacrifice, but he loves justice more than that. He loves justice more than that. So I looked up Webster's 1828 dictionary about justice. It says it's the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. What is the due of that abortionist, you suppose? Practical conformity to the laws and to the principles of rectitude, the dealings of men with each other. Justice is honesty, integrity, and commerce or mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers. Distributive justice. Chad, that's what you did. You were a peace officer. You operated in distributive justice. It belongs to magistrates or rulers and consists in distributing to every man that right or equity with which the laws, the principles of equity require. A baby has the right to life. All people have the right to life. All life is valuable. No woman can say, my body, my choice. Nobody can say that. It's not your body. It's not your choice. You can't make a life or death choice for somebody else. Or in deciding controversies according to the laws and to principles of equity. Commutative justice consists in fair dealings in trade, mutual intercourse between man and women. Impartiality, equal distribution of rights and expressing opinions. Fair representation of facts, respecting merit or demerit, in criticisms, narrations, history, or discourse. It is a duty to do justice to every man, whether friend or foe. Equity, agreeableness to right, as he proved the justice of his claim. This should, folks, is there equity in the orders that we see right now? This store can stay open, this store can't stay open. Is there equity? Is there justice? Right application of equity? His arm will do justice? I don't think so. I don't think so. Where was that, Lord? Hey, Sheldon, pull up sec third one down, duty. Duty. Because here's what's coming to. I'm sure the FBI is watching. They watch us all the time. And see, the FBI doesn't have any problem with a baby being murdered because they say it's legal, right? That's how stupid they are. Any police officer, hey, you're all going to stand, listen, you're all going to stand before the Lord. And if you're going to be a police officer and you're going to stand out front of an abortion clinic and protect the right of a woman to murder a baby, you got yourself a problem with Jesus. That's the way I see it. So slide on down here, because this doesn't make us feel very good. Are you ready? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Can you highlight this? Thank you. That they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What are those rights? Life, liberty, and pursuit of, and among those rights, governments are instituted what? To give those rights of life, liberty, and happiness to everyone. How about stay here? That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing the powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object convinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, well, it's the right, and it is the duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards to their future security. What do we do with that, fellas? That's four dead in Ohio. That's what's coming. And you know, four dead in Ohio, May 4th, 1970, nobody was ever held accountable for the death of four college students. 67 bullets in 13 minutes. No one ever held accountable for it. Equal justice tour. Equal justice under the law. Alicia gets arrested for praying. They murder babies. And Alicia gets arrested. Somebody come on in here.
Hey, Dave.
I'm feeling this one this morning. Yeah, Rich.
Yeah, you know, something that resonated with me when you were showing us that video of that young lady was in The Natural. I think skin color played a factor. But in The Spiritual, she said something important. She said she was walking the Jericho walk around that building. She was stepping across that threshold like Randy did at Hillary's house.
Amen.
She was rattling the spirits in there, and that's what I think caused more ruckus than anything.
Well, if you would watch, I don't mean this sound wrong. If you watch the video at the end of the video, when I'm talking with Alicia afterwards, we bring that up. She stirred up the demons, man. She stirred up the demons. And can I tell you something? The demons overreached. They overreached. That police officer, Officer Chung, he knows better than to do what he did. He knows better. He knows he was wrong.
I'll help pay for her lawyer for that one, Coach.
Well,
that will set a presence.
Well, here's the great news. This is how the devil oversteps. It's how the devil oversteps. Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is now liable. Is their employee.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe. If she wins, she's going to become more emboldened, Coach, you know?
More of us will, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like almost you're walking around, it's like rocking around the city of Jericho.
Well, folks, listen. Mm-hmm. God cannot bless America if we don't do something about abortion.
Hey, Coach, was she going clockwise or counterclockwise? I'm just curious.
She was going clockwise.
How about that?
How about that, huh?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. See if you can, Sheldon, see if you can pull that video back up real quick. And just, I want you to hear her heart and watch our prayer at the end of it. Because what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And God, that we would all have more courage. If we could get... I just want you guys to see this. Some of you have been to this abortion clinic. It's really the only one left in Columbus where they murder. They used to have seven. Now there's one left where they murder babies, Planned Parenthood. And I've often said this. If we could get 500 people to go today, this morning, and sit down and block that parking lot, they'd bring some paddy wagons. They may arrest us. We brought 500 more tomorrow. They may arrest us, but I don't know. We're about 500 more on Wednesday. How many days would we have to bring 500 people down there, come down, sit down, be willing to be arrested before Columbus Police Department threw up their hands? Anybody have any idea? We don't care. We really don't care. Out of sight, out of mind. Huh? My body, my choice. Right? Right?
Coach.
And the Christian
the church, Coach.
The Christian women are the worst. The Christian women are the worst. The Christian women are the worst because they say, well, I can relate to this poor little girl that's in trouble. I can relate to her. Really. Murderer. Go ahead, Randy.
I'm sorry, Coach. I didn't hear you. But here's the church. We're like Peter. We want to say, oh, yeah, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then as soon as we start talking about death, Jesus, then he began to show him how he had to go die. And then Peter, all of a sudden, he goes, oh, man, no, we can't have any part of that. So he's trying to talk him out of it.
Amen.
This is the church, Coach.
It's the church. It's the church, right?
People start talking about dying, about our body, about our life and our dying. It's real easy to talk that talk. But then when it comes down to about laying our life down on the line, it's, we don't want any part of it, Lord.
No, no, that's a little bit different.
That's right. Bad. Oh, we can't do that.
Two more what? Oh, Michelle came down to tell me there's two more that give pills. There's only one that does the surgicals, though, right? It's only one that does the surgicals. And broke my train of thought. Scroll on a little bit farther, Sheldon, because we don't have much time here. Daggone, Robert, I want to get you in here. I'm just so much going right there. Okay. Watch it. Go back just a little. This is the 10 of us that were there. We gathered in prayer. Just go ahead and play this prayer.
I said, God has given me another purpose.
Yes, ma'am.
It's to come here and pray. Uh-huh.
So he assumed something that was wrong, right? He did.
He did assume. This is my first time coming here. I was not warned.
Well, and it was my first time too.
You had car trouble, right?
I did.
Car trouble, so I went and picked her up. So,
like,
There was.
Thank God. She's here, though, right?
She's here.
Hey, listen, we're not going to leave you hanging, okay? We'll get you an attorney, and
we're going
to leave a mark on them. That's what we're going to do. Bless you, dear.
Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Hallelujah! Great things.
Hey, at least let's say a prayer. You want to? Let's say a prayer. Okay.
All
right.
Jesus.
I'm filming. Go ahead and pray here. Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. First of all, we thank you, Lord, that our very steps have been ordered by you and you delight in our life.
Thank you
that you ordered Alicia here today. Lord, you delight in her way, Lord. We thank you that your word says that there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but it ends in death and destruction. And Lord, we thank you that she has been obedient to your call, what it is that you'd have her to do. And Lord, you said in your word that Elisha would be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And she won't even have to think what she's going to say, because you're going to give unto her that same hour what she shall say, because it's not her speaking, but her father that's going to speak through her. So we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you that you've risen her up for such a time as this. We thank you for that hedge of protection that was around her, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to continue to order and direct her steps. And Lord, we pray that you're going to use this arrest or whatever it was, this citation, to bring this kingdom down, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we're going to bring that thing down. In Jesus' name. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, shall
Amen.
Cut that off.
Our Father.
Listen, folks. I just got to tell you the truth, all right? You know why babies are being murdered at the abortion clinic?
Because we let them get murdered, Coach.
Hang on, Vinny. You know why? Because it's the fruit of fornication. Abortion is the fruit of fornication.
Exactly, Coach. Let me say
this. I want you to ask yourself this. When was the last time the man standing in the pulpit where you go to church spoke on fornication? Sex outside of marriage. When was the last sermon that you heard on that?
Exactly, Coach.
You reap what you sow. Every one of those women, that's not true. 90% of the women who are murdering their babies are fornicating. It's sex outside of marriage. The wages of sin is death.
Exactly, Coach. Listen, this is a specific act that makes a child. For you to capriciously take that life away because you're ashamed of what you did, that's murder. It's murder. Own up to it. Own up to it, you freak.
Well, Vinny, the sad part is the church don't teach it's sin. The churches don't teach it's sin. They don't teach
it. And
Vinny, come on. They're pro-choice Christian women. They're a pro-choice Christian pastor.
And you're in league with Satan. You're in league with Satan, period.
Yeah. Why the kings of this earth conspire against the Lord and his anointed. It's happening right in front of us. And what's Alicia doing today at 9 o'clock? She's going back. She's going back. We'll get off here, and I'm going to go join her. I'm going to go stand with her this morning.
I guess who's coming soon, Coach?
And I pray that we sue them for $100 million, and they lose every cent of it. That's what I say. Oh, Coach, you shouldn't sue. Really? That's all they understand. Money's all they understand. What a time to be alive, folks. It's there. Just stick your head. All you got to do is just stick your head outside your door, and there's an evil to fight somewhere. Anywhere you stick your head, there's an evil to fight. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.